Dear fellow redeemed, grace, mercy, and peace are yours from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The text which will serve as the basis for the sermon this morning is taken from the Old Testament book of Exodus, chapter 3, verses 1 through 6. Now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the back of the desert and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire from the midst of a bush. So he looked, and behold, the bush was burning with fire, but the bush was not consumed. Then Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush does not burn. So when the Lord saw that he turned aside to look, God called to him from the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, Here I am. Then he said, Do not draw near this place. Take your sandals off your feet, for the place where you stand is holy ground. Moreover, he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. Dear Lord, these are your words. We ask that you would sanctify us by the truth. Your word is truth. Amen. Please be seated. Insert sermon intro here. I want you guys to know I toiled for a very long time over a sermon intro, but the reason for that is because it's a little hard to express how our expectations don't always match reality. For example, most of my atheist friends, when they think of how God reveals himself to them, they imagine that he's just going to strike them down for all of their sins. Or if you look at a lot of televangelists, they think that God will reveal himself by giving them a private jet, a Swiss bank account, or teaching them how to heal people with Tai Chi. But God does not reveal himself to us in these ways. The way he reveals himself is not always what we expect, and in many respects, it's a lot cooler. So how does God reveal himself to us? First, we should start with how he reveals himself to Moses. Here in Exodus 3, we pick up with Moses being a shepherd of his father-in-law's flock. But the reason why he's in Midian being a shepherd of his father-in-law's flock is because while he was in Egypt, he saw an Egyptian man beating his own people. And when the Israelites were, in his mind, not looking, Moses looked left, looked right, thought no one could see him, and struck down this man. But unbeknownst to Moses, people did see him kill that man. And so he fled from Egypt. He was afraid that the Pharaoh would kill him. He went over into Midian, got married, and became a shepherd. And while Moses was in Midian, the Pharaoh died, and a new Pharaoh rose up whose rule was even harder against the Israelites. And the people in Egypt cried out to God, asking for deliverance. And that is where we are here with Exodus 3. And as Moses is shepherding his father-in-law's flock, he sees this awesome sight. There's this bush in the distance that is on fire, but it's not burning up. So he goes and looks at it. And we see that God reveals himself to Moses in that when Moses is walking over, he cries out, Moses, Moses. And so Moses' response here, it's one of my favorite things ever said in Hebrew. So the word which our translation here renders as here I am is hineni in Hebrew. When literally translated, it means behold, I. It's great, wonderful time. So when your professors are doing roll call, you can tell them hineni, behold, I'm here. But yeah, we go on. God calls to Moses from the bush. And he tells him a very interesting thing. He tells him, remove your sandals because the place where you are standing is holy ground. You know, it's an awesome thing to think about. Wherever God deigns to dwell, he causes that place to be sanctified. And while God is talking to Moses, he reveals himself to him. He says, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And we see Moses hides his face from God. And rightly so. Sinful creatures have no right to stand in the face of the God who is holy above all things. And God continues to tell Moses that he has heard the cry of his people in Egypt and that he is sending Moses to deliver his people from their bondage. God reveals himself to the Israelites, to the Egyptians, through the plagues in Egypt. He continues to reveal his merciful nature to the Israelites through the Exodus, the parting of the Red Sea, as a pillar of cloud by day, as a pillar of fire by night. And he delivers them from their hunger as well. They complained that they were hungry, so he gave them manna and quail from heaven. They complained that they were thirsty, so he gave them water from a rock to drink. God kept revealing his merciful and just nature to the Israelites. He reveals himself in ways we don't always expect. And like I said, it's a lot cooler than what we expect. I would love to see a pillar of fire walking around. But how does God reveal himself to us today? The most visible way that he reveals himself, of course, is in Jesus Christ, the Word made flesh. But Jesus does show up in the Old Testament too, not in the flesh, but he is the one speaking from the burning bush in our text today. And he shows up a few other times, and every single time he shows up, people are terrified. If you notice, one of the refrains whenever an angel shows up or whenever Jesus shows up is, "Do not be afraid." Sinful creatures do not deserve to be in the presence of God who is holy. If the bushes outside of chapel here today were to suddenly catch fire and God were to speak to you from these bushes, I think I can speak for every single one of us if I said, that's terrifying. Especially if Christ was not on our side. You would have to answer for every single sin you have ever committed, whether it has been behind closed doors or out in public. Moses probably could have been thinking about the man that he killed in Egypt when God showed up to him in this burning bush. He knew it was wrong. He looked left and right, and he still did it. And we are no better than Moses in that regard. We commit sins even though we know they're wrong. Whether it's lying to our friends, our family, cheating on homework, disobeying our parents or authorities, or even those secret sins that we try to hide from the world, and we continue to do them. And if we didn't think they were wrong, we wouldn't be afraid of getting caught. God very well could have just smote Moses as soon as he came up to the burning bush. But God doesn't reveal himself to you in order for you to be afraid and terrified and know that you're going to hell for your disobedience. God doesn't reveal himself as a God to destroy you. Rather, he reveals himself as the God of your salvation. He reveals himself in his word to you, and in the word made flesh in Jesus Christ. Throughout the Bible, we get to see so many awesome things that God has done to provide for his people. The Old Testament and the New Testament both proclaim this message of God of your salvation. And the incarnation is another beautiful picture of a burning bush type situation. God is dwelling in the bush, and the bush does not get burned up. God is dwelling in Jesus. He is Jesus. And the human nature does not get destroyed by the divine nature. It's a wonderful picture for all of us. And even more wonderful is what Jesus came to do. Just as God delivered the Israelites out of Egypt from their bondage, so too he delivers us from the bondage of our sin to death and the devil. And we have our wonderful Savior leading the way for us. God also reveals himself to us in his sacraments. Through baptism, we get to see God working through water and the Word to wash away all of our sins and to create faith in our hearts. Just as the Israelites were led through the waters of the Red Sea, so too God leads us through the waters of our baptism out of sin. We also hear in Galatians that as many of us as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. He is dwelling in and with us through faith. And yet again, another picture of us not being consumed by God. We have his name given to us. We have become his own dear children. We are a temple for the Holy Spirit to dwell. And it is a miracle that we are not all burned up by God's dwelling in us. Just as the ground was made holy by God's presence here in Exodus, so too we have been made holy and sanctified by God's presence in us. He also reveals himself in a very, very personal way in the Lord's Supper, where we get to eat and drink the very body and blood of our Lord for the forgiveness of all of our sins. While the Israelites had manna and quail in the desert, we get a more nourishing supper for our soul. These sacraments, God's word, these are very real revelations of God, of who he is for you. His merciful and loving nature is shown perfectly throughout all of these. You, my dear brothers and sisters, have seen God. You may not have seen him in a burning bush while shepherding the flock of your father-in-law in a desert near Mount Horeb, but you have seen him. He chose to reveal himself to you not as a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night, but as your own dear brother and your Savior. Rejoice in knowing that this God, whose presence did not consume the bush, does not consume you. Rejoice in knowing that your salvation was won for you on the cross by Christ and is given to you freely as a gift through faith. Jesus talks about this passage in the New Testament, showing another aspect of God that is revealed to us that we all get to rejoice in. When Jesus says this, "I am the God of your father Abraham, the God of Jacob, and the God of Isaac," he shows that we have a God who is the God of the living. That is our resurrection hope that we have through faith. This gracious, just, merciful, and loving God has forgiven you of all of your sins and has set apart a holy place for you to dwell in with him. Rejoice in this always, and may your faith cling to your Savior throughout all your days. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be. Amen. Grant, we beseech you, Almighty God, that we who deserve to be punished for our evil deeds may mercifully be relieved by the comfort of your grace. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one true God, now and forever. Amen.